Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Hey guys, welcome back. Today we've got a really fun episode for you because we're going to talk all about emotions, what they are, how they play in our lives, what they do to our bodies, what they do for our results, and how to use them. Because I know I've spent a lot of my life feeling like I was at the mercy of my own emotions. And it doesn't need to be that way. We can start getting into a little bit about the lighter side of things with emotions. But first, let's talk about what they are.
Yeah, and I think just as a quick reminder for those of you listening out there, if you're ever feeling like the content that we're teaching you is a little maybe over your head, one thing that we did want to touch on is just to let you know that we are giving you a lot of information. It's like you're getting a fast track to a master's degree in transformation here. And so just to remember, as you're going through these episodes, what we're going to be talking to you about is going to make more and more sense as we start to go through more and more of these series and more of these episodes. So hold on tight, stay tuned, and know that it will start to click and certain pieces will start to come together. If you're ever feeling lost or confused, feel free to shoot us a message. Our information is always down below. And with that, yeah, let's go ahead and dive right into what emotions are.
So emotions are these amazing little things that we've got in our bodies that are like barometers. It's almost like an internal compass. And we need them. You know, our emotions are pretty much the only things that keep us alive. If you really think about it, we've got two sets of emotions. We've got positive emotions and we've got negative emotions. And it's kind of really important to remember that it doesn't make one good or one bad. It's sort of like the different polarities of a magnet. It's not like the side of the magnet with a minus sign on it is the evil side of the magnet. In fact, our negative emotions are, I'd say, the most important things that we've got. Think about it for a second. What would happen to you if you just suddenly stopped experiencing fear? I don't think you'd make it too long, would you? I don't think any of our species would make it. So emotions are our way of letting us know that we're doing something right or we're doing something wrong. And there's also quite a bit chemically going on in the body. We're going to go over that as well. But for now, let's just talk about it that way, that these are our warning signals or our reward signals.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that you brought that up. And understanding, guys, that different emotions, you almost experience from different parts of your brain. And really understanding, without going too deep into it, that different behaviors are going to activate different parts of that brain. So when you're doing something that feels good, right, whether or not it's good for you to be doing, it's the feeling that is exciting. It's that chemical release into your body. A great way to understand emotions is they are quite literally energy in motion. It's one of my favorite descriptions of them. And so this energy is what you're feeling. You get that sudden feeling of like, oh, I'm either like massive positive energy or negative energy. And it's fun because we can toy around with this. You hear a lot of people talk about high vibes and positive vibes and good energy because you can feel the different types of energy that people are putting off with their emotional states. So this is where it gets kind of fun, where you can really start to understand this as at a very generic level, where it's something that you can apply to your day-to-day life, where you can feel different emotional states. When somebody walks in a room and they are just smiling and they're like a ray of sunshine, you're just like, wow, that person's really like attractive. I just want to go and talk to them. Or it's somebody who walks in a room and you can tell that you really don't want to talk to them, that they look very angry, and they're probably not somebody that you'd want to sit down and have lunch with. So you steer clear. And so this is where emotions and understanding your emotional intelligence is really, really powerful.
Yeah, and that as well. Remember that this comes from a very long line of people learning what is good or what is bad for us. And yes, sometimes they can get skewed. We're going to talk about in just a second where something feels good and yet really isn't. But most of this just comes from survival, right? When you see someone coming at you, they're smiling, they're joyful. Well, this is someone who could probably add some serious value to your life. At the very least, they're not a threat, right? And so that's why we see someone like that, and all of a sudden, we feel good. And you can see that this emotional transference is a really important part of your emotions, that you feel things not just because of you and what you're doing, but the people around you. In fact, we actually have mirror neurons on either side of our head that light up. They create empathy. These things, they only have one purpose. They only have one reason, and that is to help you feel what other people feel. That's it. And you think about it. Everything in your brain has a really important purpose. It's something that's been carefully designed over thousands of years of evolution to be at its best right now in its current state. So that must mean that's really important to be able to feel what other people feel. Now, you know, getting a little bit into like the metaphysical stuff, but I kind of live there and love it. There's actually a certain kind of person called an empath who has almost supernatural abilities to feel what other people feel. For example, I'm an empath, a few of my friends are, and we can sense other people's emotions from across a room without even seeing them. So there are these people who, they are so attuned to emotions that it becomes just like another sense. And in that way, it is kind of amazing to be able to feel people walking by. And then notice also, when you feel one way, how does that change the other people around you? And it becomes kind of a fun little game to see whether you can get other people to respond to you depending on the emotional state that you're in, playing on that emotional transference.
Yeah, so this is turning into a really fun episode. I love the content that we're diving into here. And just to give you guys some other just amazing information, if you really want to dive more into the metaphysical and really understanding some of the actual science-y pieces behind this, the different emotions that you carry, like we mentioned before, they're energy in motion. And so that energy is quite literally vibrating at a different frequency. And so as you go into these more powerful emotional states like love, joy, bliss, gratitude, you're literally vibrating energetically at a higher frequency where you become more coherent. You become somebody who's more energetically charged, and you become, in a way, more attractive, right? And so you attract more opportunity and you open up more doors. Whereas when you're stepping into more negative emotions, they have a different frequency, and that frequency tends to slow down and becomes more incoherent. And so when you get into emotions like anger, fear, sadness, hurt, guilt, right, shame, all of these start to vibrate at a lower frequency, and you start to, in a sense, almost repel or only attract that kind of energy back to you because that's what you're vibrating at. So when people are talking about this concept of high vibes, right, it literally is about a high vibrational frequency that you're putting out with your emotional energy.
And that kind of makes sense, right? I mean, when you look at groups of people, you'll find that happy people tend to hang out with other happy people, whereas unhappy people tend to hang out with other unhappy people. I remember in the throes of my depression, my best friends were also depressed, right? We just attracted each other. And that's kind of an amazing thing to think about too, right? Because if your emotions really do attract or repel people, then that means that you can change the people around you by feeling different yourself. And that's a kind of an amazing concept that, you know, instead of looking for other people to make you feel a certain way, to help you get out of a funk, or, you know, trying to attract someone who's positive when you're feeling negative so that they can kind of pull you out, you can actually, through the tools and techniques we're going to give you, you're going to be able to switch your state, your emotion, and therefore attract other people who are just going to feed into it. And that's an amazing thing to know that all you got to do is focus on you feeling good, and you're going to naturally bring in other people who are going to make you feel good as well.
Absolutely. And this is something where I want to sort of talk to those of you who are like, well, I want to feel happy. Why can't I feel happy? Right? Are you saying, well, I want to feel love, or I want to feel, right? There's things that you want to feel, but you're stuck in whatever reason feeling a negative emotion that you maybe necessarily you don't want to be feeling. And we can think about things like maybe where you're feeling anxiety, or you're feeling like depressed, or you're feeling angry, or you're feeling sad, right? And it's something that you've been feeling for quite a long period of time now, where you say, well, I don't know how to feel happy. And it's understanding that there's actually something that's happening in your body. And the reason why I want to explain this and teach this to each and every single one of you listening in right now is because when you can understand something, you are no longer running an unconscious program because you become consciously aware of the program that's running and you can disassociate from it. So understand that these chemical states, these emotional chemical states, can become addictive for the body. And as we were talking about in our previous episode, I believe it was episode 3 with the unconscious mind, one of the prime directives of the unconscious mind is to preserve and run the body. And so the unconscious mind becomes these emotional states that we've been living in for an extended period of time. So to give you a little bit of an example here, if somebody has been living in high stress, right? They've been living in a stressful situation, they've activated that fight or flight system, and they've been living in stress for the last 5 years of their life. What's going to happen with their body is going to calibrate, and that emotional state of stress is going to become the new place of homeostasis for them. It's going to become their new home, where that's what their body knows as normal. Right? When you're around something long enough, it becomes normal to you. And so that new normal, that level of stress, that chemical place of stress, is what your body has become acclimated to. So when you're trying to step into a different emotional state and you're thinking, well, feeling relaxed and happy feels like weird, doesn't feel right. And I want to correct this. It's not that it doesn't feel right, it's that it feels unfamiliar. Because it's unfamiliar to your body, because your body has not been chemically acclimated to this new emotional state. So it is going to feel strange and weird and uncomfortable and unfamiliar. That's totally normal. And that's just a sign that, holy crap, my body has acclimated to this new home, homeostasis, of living in these other emotional states. And so now, as I'm starting to step into a different emotional state, it's understanding that my body, what's happening between the beautiful connection that we talked about with your brain and your body, is your body is saying, wait, hold on. We need to get back to our place of home. We need to get back to our place of homeostasis, of feeling stressed out. That's our normal. And so what it's going to do, and oftentimes I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this, where you're doing something great and you're writing down your affirmations, and then this wonderful little thought creeps up. And it's like, you don't need to get up today. Just sleep in. You can start tomorrow. You don't need to do this. And what that is that's your body sending a signal to your brain, trying to get your brain to start thinking the same way that your body wants to feel, because it wants to bring back that state of homeostasis, that state that it knows, that's familiar, so that it can get its emotional fix. And so the big thing here is understanding that your body can literally become chemically addicted to certain emotional states. So when we talk about things like depression or anxiety, it's understanding that a lot of times it's that the body has become so familiar to this emotion that it almost knows it better than the mind. And so the body starts to feel this way. It sends a signal up to your brain and it says, hey, start thinking these thoughts so we can get our emotional fix. And when you start thinking those thoughts, you start to release those chemicals and those feelings come back into your body.
Yeah, that's something that I can really identify with quite a bit, knowing what it's like to be on one side of the spectrum and be horribly just addicted to my own depression. And, you know, I didn't even know what could be on the other end of it. And my body and my unconscious mind, not knowing what was on the other side, made it seem like actually something scary. It was so strange to want to not be depressed, but also have some sort of trepidation, like almost I had a resistance to it. And really that was just my body being chemically addicted to my depression. And, you know, it didn't want me to go cold turkey. And even when I started my change, you know, I would have relapses. Absolutely. I was a full-on drug addict to my own negative emotions. But the beautiful thing is that you can also get your body addicted to positive emotions. You know, it doesn't have to be just one-sided. And you can even train yourself. And at the end of this episode, I've actually got a process for you, a little something that you could start doing today in order to start that process of training your mind and your body to get addicted to positive emotions so that you feel it all the time. That becomes your normal. And then anytime you start dipping into something else, your body will think, out of whack. Nope, right back into positive. This is what we like. This is what we're used to. And it's kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah, and this is probably, when we talk about the foundations, guys, this is really the foundation of transformation. It's understanding that all transformation happens through emotion, through really changing these emotional states that you not just live in and experience the world in, but that you identify yourself through. And so when we can start to shift these chemical states, these emotions, and start to separate who you believe you are from how you're feeling, and get you to start thinking greater than how you're feeling, and start to create for yourselves these new emotional states, and start to come up with, well, what does love look like? What does joy look like? What does gratitude look like? And starting to step into those emotional states, maybe even if it's just dipping your toe in one by one, and slowly starting to get your whole body immersed into those different emotional states where you can become, like Dan mentioned earlier, it can become your new normal. And that's really what this process of transformation is. It's shifting what's been your normal based off of your previous conditioning up until this point, what you've conditioned your mind and your body to based on your environmental experiences, and taking back your control and your power, realizing that there's maybe a program that you've been running, some automatic program that served you to a certain point, but it's no longer serving you based on where you want to go, and starting to shift those chemical addictions and getting your body addicted to feeling great.
Yeah, and there's something else that I really want to bring up here. I love this stuff. Using emotions as tools, because I want you to really understand and feel and know that these positive emotions that we're talking about, yeah, I know, we all want to feel love. We all want to feel happy. But some people think that that is an end point, like that's a result. It isn't. In fact, the more we know, there's a whole side of research now called positive psychology, which, oh my God, I wish this was a thing. Like, I had studied all this stuff before it even got a name. Now you can major in it in college. And I kind of feel like I sort of want to go and just teach it. It'd be so much fun, because on that side, it's all about how do we use our positive emotions? Not just why do we feel them, but what can we really do with them? And one of my favorite books, if you really want to learn a lot about this, is called The Happiness Advantage. That's by a guy named Sean Acor. And he studied all sorts of ways in which happiness impacted people's performance at work to show that happiness doesn't necessarily need to come from being successful. It doesn't need to be a thing that comes from having an amazing relationship or doing something well. In fact, it's almost reverse. I mean, think about it for just a second. Think about the most successful people that you know in at least modern times, right? The most successful in all areas of their lives. They all seem to be happy, don't they? So my question to you is, do you think that they're happy because they're successful? Or could it be? Could it be that they are successful because they're happy? So we're talking about all these chemicals that go on through your body when you feel an emotion, right? But these chemicals don't just impact how you feel. They impact how you think. They impact your memory. They impact your recall. They impact how you perceive. They impact how fast you think. And I don't think it's any big surprise that we tend to operate better across all fields of doing anything when we're feeling positive. That's when we feel the most creative, right? I know some artists do have an amazing capacity to be very creative when they're feeling negative emotions, but it's not because of the negative emotions, it's despite them. Study after study will show you that when you are feeling happy or love or bliss, you're even more creative, you think better, faster, your body heals faster. You digest food better. Your heart regulates. All the great hormones inside of your mind that help you be confident, that help you connect with people, that help you just feel amazing, they all skyrocket when you feel good. So it's actually a very important technique in life to find out and then practice over and over again, feeling as good as you can. And this doesn't mean you need to be happy and blissful every single second of your life in order to experience these. Just work on taking one step further. You know, if you're right now currently in a funk of depression, just take one step towards happiness. That's it. And you're going to find a bump in your life that'll create the momentum that you need in order to break that chemical addiction to your emotions and move forward. And if you're already feeling great, amazing. Challenge yourself to feel even better and see what that does for you in your life.
I love it. And I love that you brought up and you're bringing up this idea that how you feel has an effect on what you experience or the certain level of success that you can have in your life. And this reminds me of a really, really powerful quote by an author and a really well-renowned, I think would be, he's a psychologist and he's a chiropractor, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he does a lot of work understanding and studying the human brain and the body and how that works. And one of his quotes is this idea that your personality creates your personal reality, right? That the way that you think, that you feel, and that you behave literally creates the reality, the experience that you have outside of you. And so this is coming back to what we talked about in episode 3 around the unconscious mind, of really understanding, are you living at effect and saying that it's your personal reality, everything outside of you that's created your personality? It's because of all these events and experiences, that's why you are the way you are and you feel the way you feel? Or are you choosing to take ownership and believe that your personality, the way you think, the way you feel, and what you do, how you behave, create and impact and influence your personal reality, the experience outside of you, and living at causing an effect? Because if this is true, and I would have my bet on the fact that it possibly could be, if this is true, then isn't it possible that we can start to emotionally think and feel and create inside of us the person and the personality that we want to have and be? And as we start to step into that personality, we can start to create our personal reality outside of us.
That is, I mean, I love that you brought up Joe Dispenza. I've been crushing his books recently and doing a lot of the meditations, and this just so good.
I mean,
get his stuff. What is it? Breaking the Habit of Being You? Or Being Yourself?
Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, yeah.
There it is. And You Are the Placebo are his two other books. Just came out with another one, Becoming Supernatural. Joe, I'll take my check in the mail. But yeah. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. Why not? Let's call each other out for doing amazing work. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Because in the last episode, when we were talking about the unconscious mind, we said that the unconscious mind distorts, deletes, and generalizes information. And it takes in almost none of reality and uses that to create all of your experiences, all of your memories. Everything that you feel has happened to you is because of a process that your brain has done. Well, your brain works on chemicals, right? And your emotions are chemical, really. And your body, your emotions are chemicals, and they create chemical cascades. So if your emotions change the chemicals in your brain, and the chemicals in your brain change the information that you distort, delete, generalize, and filter, and that creates your reality, I think it's a really straight shot to understand that your emotions create your reality as well, right? And by changing one, you can change the other. And here's something, can we get like a little bit weirder?
Let's do it.
We're gonna dive back and back into the land of strange and to a man named Masaru Emoto. And you may have heard of him and his ice studies. And man, what, I mean, this blew my freaking mind. I remember learning about this in college back when the studies, I think, were being done. And this just took my breath away. So the simple experiment was to take some water, put it into a bunch of different little glass containers, and then different words were written on pieces of paper that were pasted onto these containers. And some of the words went along with positive emotions, and some of the words went along with negative emotions. And they had it there, and they just attached the, you know, almost like attaching the emotion to the water. And then they froze it and they checked out the crystallization of the water. And they found that, remember when, you know, when Sophie was talking about the higher vibrations, the more powerfully positive the emotion, the faster the wavelength, right? The faster the frequency, the shorter the wavelength. That there was a physical effect on the water depending on the emotion that went along with it. So words like, I love you, would create ice that had beautiful, perfect crystallization that looked gorgeous. And then the water that had I hate you attached to it was, you know, when it was frozen and when they looked at the crystallization, looked fractured. And it wasn't symmetrical at all. And it just looked ugly. And they noticed that different emotions created different crystallizations. And the more positive, the more beautiful and intricate the crystallizations. The more negative, the more completely incoherent, completely random, and also fragile. The ice was actually fragile. And think about it. How much of you is water, right? We're mostly water. So if this works on a piece of ice, think about what emotions do to your whole body that's running on this stuff. And so, yes, positive emotions heal. Yes, they do make you stronger. And yes, negative emotions can make you feel physically weaker. So it behooves us to do everything we can to study how to live in even more powerfully positive emotions for all sorts of amazing reasons.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought this study up. I believe if you YouTube, you can actually find the video and you guys can actually watch and see the actual crystals that they looked at, because it is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And you can see the different words that they use to study this. It's really, really amazing. And to Dan's point, exactly that. We are 70% water and some believe more so. And so understanding how much your thoughts, your emotional state, your IR, your internal representation, your identity really do affect the way that you experience the world outside of you is monumental. And I think before Dan goes into sharing, you know, one of his amazing strategies with you guys, really just speaking as a testament to this for myself, and I'm sure Dan, you can attest to this as well, how when we began to change and shift our identities, who we believed we were and how we were feeling and how we were thinking and what we were doing, before anything outside of our lives changed, not only did we start to feel different, but it was like the sun got brighter and the colors got warmer and we just started to feel happier and we could hear the birds singing louder. And slowly and surely, every single day, as you started to live more and more in that emotional state, more and more doors opened up. And it's just, again, how we came across this podcast and how things are just, all these doors are opening up a possibility by continuing to live in that emotional state.
Yeah, man, I have so many stories about that. That it's just like, yes, the colors getting brighter and the world getting lighter and suddenly finding out that strangers are smiling at me and like, you know, babies are giggling and pets love me and all this stuff. I'm like, yes, it felt like a freaking Disney movie going on inside of my actual life. And it's just the trippiest thing when that happens. And I know that you're going to experience the very same thing. You know, that's my goal for you, that I don't want you to just listen to this. I want you to really take some serious steps, you know, towards getting this for yourself. And so this is where this little technique comes in, and I'm going to give you the background on it. There was a study done on people playing Tetris, and what they did over the course of 3 days is had this group play Tetris for 9 hours a day, and then they sent them home. And what they noticed is that after these participants left, they still played Tetris in their minds. Like they would sit there in traffic going home and think, well, you know what, if this bus just moved over to the left and that car moved over to the right and this guy just flipped over, we could all move up. Or they went home and looked at their fridge and rearranged their fridge so everything kind of fit snugly and perfectly. They'd have dreams about Tetris. So you can train yourself to think about certain things. You can train yourself to feel certain things. Think about this. If you have any friends who are cops or auditors. I've got a couple friends who are auditors, and I love them to death. But think about what they do for, and they work a lot, way more than 9 hours a day. Think about what they do. Their job is to find things that are wrong. That's what they do. And so when they leave, it's not like they just turn it off. They've trained themselves. And so they get home and this is wrong. That's, why did you say it like that? And that needs more salt. And everything is, they're just doing what they've been trained to do. So think about what you've been training yourself to do or feel. And then here is a process that will allow you to change that. Now you can do this on your own by writing things down by hand, or even more powerfully, you can get a partner. And then at one point in the day, either at night or in the morning, my favorite is to do it at night, especially if you have a partner who you eat dinners with regularly. That's awesome. It makes it super, super easy. Again, you can just write this down for yourself. Three things that were good, positive in any way from the last 24 hours, and why did you choose those things? Now, if you're doing it for yourself, my challenge to you is to find three new things every day. And I'll tell you why. See, when you're doing this with a partner and you guys are sharing three things each time, eventually your partner is going to have a really good answer. You know, just nailed it. And you're going to spend the next 24 hours trying to beat them. And so in your mind, you're going to go, well, this is positive. I like this. Why do I think this? Nah, it's not good enough. This, how about this? I like that. Is that strong enough? What else is good? And you will start unconsciously seeking out what's positive and what makes you feel amazing. And also because you're doing it with a partner, you can't say the same thing every night, right? You got to come up with new stuff. So your unconscious mind is going to keep seeking out what makes you feel good. And you will train yourself to find things that make you feel some sort of positivity. And again, if you do it for yourself, just challenge yourself to find three new things, because otherwise you can slip into just naming the three things for the same reasons every day, and it won't have an effect on you. So you're going to be your own watchdog here and make sure three new things every single day. And the beautiful thing there is, yeah, at one point, you're going to have a day where it seems really hard. Good. That's a good thing, because you're going to have to then struggle a little bit. You're going to have to push yourself to find something that's good. And the more you do that, the more you train yourself to look for what makes you feel amazing. And you can start changing your unconscious habits, letting your mind know that this is the new game plan, that feeling amazing is the new way of being, and you can start getting your system hooked on feeling amazing.
Awesome. Love, 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 love it. So I hope you guys enjoyed thoroughly this a little bit of a weird, fun episode on emotions and diving deep into some of the things that Dan and I clearly, we really love to enjoy exploring. And if you guys have any more questions on any of that, feel free to reach out at any time. Shoot us a message. You can always, again, comment below. Otherwise, we will plan on seeing you on the next episode, where we will be diving deep into two very amazing emotional states, one of fear and one of love, and understanding really the power behind each. So until then, we will see you guys on the next episode.
Bye, guys.